Just a quick word. I think I had my moment of conscientization, or consciousness building or raising, over a 2-year period in rural El Salvador, as Lenny has already indicated. And certainly, probably some of my strongest mentors were the campus students with whom I worked and continue to work with this to this day. And so I feel very fortunate that I have this opportunity to work very closely with a number of medical students, in this particular case at Harvard, and it really allows me to inculcate in whatever moment is possible themes of social justice and human dignity and accompaniment and liberation medicine. So without further ado, here we go. As doctors work to achieve optimal health outcomes for patients, they struggle with issues that arise outside the clinic. Social, economic, and political contexts influence both the burden of disease and treatment, access, and outcomes. And this challenge has motivated recent calls for increased attention to the social history and social determinants of health. In parallel, there has been calls to increase our attention towards global health. So as greater numbers of U.S. medical students and others participate in global health experiences each year, their training in global health is marked by a great deal of heterogeneity. The field of social medicine, with its attention to the social determinants of health, the social meanings of disease, and the social responses to disease, really offers a solution to both challenges. Social medicine's analysis and techniques provide coherence to the global health field, a field that in some ways is seen as kind of a collection of problems rather than a particular discipline. And so in 2007, the Harvard Medical School implemented a new course, the Intro to Social Medicine and Global Health, which I will refer to as ISM. And it became a required course of all first-year medical students. And it teaches social medicine in a way that really does integrate social and global health. So I would like to spend this time with you to share the structure and the pedagogical tools that we use, reflect on some of the student critiques we've received over nearly this whole decade, and then also have an opportunity to share with you some preliminary kind of pre and post survey analysis of medical students. And I have no financial interest. So let me just jump into real quick an audience participation piece. Really, really quick. What do you all think are the major determinants of health and their contribution to premature death? Just shout them out. Any? All. Say it again. Socioeconomic status. Great. Education. Built environment, geography, race, gender. I mean, great, 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 great start, and we could continue on in this fashion. The reason I bring this up is, you know, that particular question is actually like represented by this particular pie graph, which is from an article written by Schroeder et al. In the New England Journal of Medicine entitled, "We Can Do Better, Improving the Health of the American People." And so ISM operates from a basic premise. Social or medicine is inextricably embedded in social contexts. And doctors need to understand the social determinants of health, the changing social meanings of disease, the diversity of healthcare behaviors and practices, and the social factors that influence the treatment effectiveness, whether they are working here in the US or overseas. And I'll quote from Schroeder. He said, even if the entire US population had access to excellent medical care, which we know is not true, only a small fraction of those deaths could in fact be prevented. And so the single greatest opportunity to improve health and reduce premature death lies in personal behavior. In fact, behavioral causes account for nearly 40% of all deaths in the United States, again, represented in this pie chart. So when you share this with medical students, it sort of shakes their world, right? Because they're, you know, operating from a belief that, well, if I'm a good doctor and I provide good care, ideally I should be able to promote the optimal health of individuals, and that's not always true. We have to struggle with these larger, more complex issues. So ISM presents students with very concrete questions. Who is likely to get sick? Why? And how can doctors interrupt upstream factors to prevent disease? And once a person is sick and presents for healthcare, what can be done to harness our knowledge of biological and social factors to improve the delivery of healthcare, and ultimately to optimize the health and well-being of the population we serve? And so ISM argues that physicians have a responsibility not just to provide care, but also to work creatively to achieve desired health outcomes. And this, we believe, is a fundamental reconceptualization of the task and obligation of physicians. The American Association of Medical Colleges, the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education have recommended that social sciences play a larger role in medical education. And we now know that provisions of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act actually require and encourage physicians to become more active in the community and collaborate with individuals and organizations, schools and businesses, for example, outside the traditional clinical setting to actually have a deeper impact on what's occurring in the community. Advocates have called on physicians to take the social history more seriously as not just an exercise in asking someone about their substance abuse history and their sexual history, but rather as a really special, intimate window into the essential factors that affect people's lives. And so really, again, to help patients achieve optimal health, whether in the United States or abroad, doctors must synthesize these kind of macro perspectives of biomedical research with these macro perspectives of public health. And so we feel that social medicine can really act as this bridge between these seemingly disparate worlds. ISM, again, teaches that a patient's zip code may be absolutely much more relevant and an important marker of health than their genetic clue, as you all indicated. Geography matters, place matters. And so what social medicine can do is not only inform domestic problems priorities, but also global health ones as well. And this is really critical because in our current country, roughly 30% of all medical students report that they've had some sort of global health experience. And they also state that the schools in which they're training really do lack some formative exercises in training in global health, and faculty agree. We also know that residents of all types and all disciplines are getting opportunities to engage in global health work. And yet, very few programs explicitly discuss how social, economic, environmental, historical, and political factors affect those very populations with whom they work and serve. Again, global perspectives can also shed a light right back here on our own U.S. healthcare system and population health. We know that the U.S., in comparison to many very wealthy, resource-rich countries, has pretty poor health indicators, and so it's important for medical students to hear that as well. And while the field of social medicine does, in a sense, enjoy wider institutional support in places like the UK and Europe and Latin America, its footprint right here in the United States is quite small, with roughly about 10% of accredited medical schools offering some type of social medicine course. So let's get into some of the nuts and bolts here. What does our curriculum actually look like? Again, we've been around since 2007. The course can essentially be divided into three major sections. Section one is the foundational concepts of social medicine. What is the burden of disease? What is the social determinants of health? When we talk about health inequalities, race and poverty, what does that mean? The second section is what we call the social meanings of disease. Who is responsible for disease? What are some of the causes of noncompliance? What are the dynamics of knowledge production? And explanations of disparities in treatment access and outcome. And then the third section is what we call translational social medicine. So a deeper analysis of, again, institutional, economic, cultural dynamics that really shape the social and medical responses to disease. And it allows an exploration of how doctors can use this knowledge to advocate on behalf of their patients, improve healthcare delivery, and shape local, national, and global health policy. And again, although the finer details and points may change from year to year, we really do follow a basic template. And the course opens with a clinical case that we present to students. We have a young child by the name of Santiago who makes repeated visits to the emergency room for asthma attacks. And so what happens during the course of the discussion around, well, why is he getting so sick and how do we intervene? You know, many students jump to, well, maybe it's because the family lacked access to primary care, or maybe they didn't really understand the kinds of treatments that we were encouraging and recommending that they follow. And so that's kind of, the first layer, if you will. But as we get into more of the details of the case, we really kind of force students to think more carefully. And they are required to think about how housing conditions influence asthma mitigation or exacerbation. They are challenged with thoughts about how language, literacy can act as barriers to the physician-patient relationship, how mistrust can grow between a patient and a doctor, and how this can disrupt medical care, how poverty exacerbates overall morbidity and mortality, and even how new environmental initiatives like the change in the formulation for inhalers, which may have a positive and important impact on our environment, actually directly affect patient care and treatment, because now the prices of those actual inhalers has gone up dramatically. So again, all too often, treatment, even that is available and even when people have access to primary care, doctors many times must also think outside the box because of these overriding issues. What does our pedagogy look like? It's very diverse. It includes a lot of cases, domestic and global. We do a lot of readings, video. They go on community walks. We show them a map like this and a map of something like the Back Bay. They're asked to take a particular health indicator, look at the disparities, and then generate hypotheses. Well, why is it that asthma rates are so distinctly different in Chelsea as compared to the Back Bay? We have panels with community health members, community-based organizations, community health workers. They visit community health centers, and we also help integrate and inform their home visit during their practice of medicine course. So again, we're doing the best we can to link them with all of these larger topics, but also get them out into the communities where they will ideally be serving as physicians. So with that origin, curriculum pedagogy as a background, what have we heard from students? Okay, what is the student critique? Again, I'll distill it into these three main sections. One is pragmatic. Everybody knows there's a hidden curriculum. The students are constantly struggling and questioning, what is the knowledge I have to know as a medical student in order to graduate and be a good doctor? So they're constantly triaging priorities, and they don't necessarily see social medicine as a priority. There's the antisocial critique, okay? People come into medical school very enamored with science, technology, and they focus very much on gaining technical expertise, like how can I be a good doctor? And then finally, there's the local critique. Most students are going to be practicing within the borders of the United States, so why include information on resource-limited settings? We have a response to all of those things, which I will try to distill in brief fashion. One is, In terms of the anti-pragmatic one, as is evident, students should absolutely know about the social determinants. And we also know that technical competence should be sort of the basic minimum that, you know, a medical student should strive for. And if doctors remain oblivious to the realities of the patients they're serving, then no amount of expertise is actually going to help them provide better care. When we think about the antisocial, again, medicine and science can only live up to their potential if we develop systems that actually get those new scientific devices and diagnostic tools out to the patients who actually need them. Okay, and then finally, we decry this false dichotomy of global and domestic health. What we feel is global and local perspectives are both relevant for understanding the practice of medicine anywhere. And so global health should not be defined by any particular geographic area, but rather by the intimate economic, social, cultural, intellectual, and material interconnectedness of the health of our global population in the 21st centuries. So with these critiques in mind, I am going to blow through my pre- and post-test findings in these remaining moments. But just suffice it to say, this was the first kind of formal opportunity to ask students what were your experiences in what you call social medicine at an educational and an experiential or an employment level. Question them about what do you understand to be the social determinants of health and what is this distinction between a disparity and a difference. Here are some of the basic results. Okay, so about a quarter said, self-report. We think we've done relevant coursework in this area. A third said, we've done experiential learning or work for a community-based organization. And yet, prior to taking the course, about a third said they felt confident, they knew what was meant by the social determinants of health. And then a much less number, about 15%, felt that they were confident that they knew the distinction between a difference and a disparity. We then get into the post-test findings. We learn that two-thirds of students really did report a deeper understanding of social medicine and the relevance for clinical practice in the U.S. and overseas. Four out of five felt better equipped to conduct a social history and understand its significance. And four out of five stated that social medicine was very important to their overall education. And here are just some quotes from the medical students. Lots of analysis still in progress. If any of you are qualitative methods gurus out there, I would love some assistance. I have lots of data to analyze in terms of the students' open-ended responses. So really, in closing, briefly, what are some of the lessons learned? I think what we've learned through this exercise of both the student critiques as well as this more formal analysis is that even though students arrive at medical school with this self-reported knowledge of experiences and education that's relevant to social medicine, we feel the course is really instrumental in teaching students about foundational concepts in social medicine and how to apply them in a clinical setting. What we're now facing is, again, curriculum reform. So our course now is condensed with three other disciplines into what is called the essentials of the profession. So we are combining and integrating with health policy, ethics, and epidemiology to present a cohesive and coherent structure in 1 month. And we're also striving to integrate with this new course, the practice of medicine. So really, to reflect and take it all home, both social medicine and global health are, in our minds, absolute essential components of medical education. And we feel that social medicine really can provide this invaluable link between what are seemingly disparate worlds of biomedical research and public health. And we really feel that medical physicians, healthcare practitioners absolutely need to invest everything and do everything possible to improve the health of their patients. And this absolutely requires a deeper knowledge, appreciation, and understanding of the social worlds and social realities in which their patients live. So a grounding in social medicine is absolutely essential for the training and education of these future physicians. Thank you very much.